Thanks for tuning into The 21st today. I'm Brian Moline, filling in for Nyla Boodoo. Every September through October, Illinois wildlife officials strategically shut down a 2.5-mile stretch of road that runs through Shawnee National Forest in the southern part of the state. If you're familiar with the area, you may know the spot as LaRue Road or Forest Service Road number 345. Or perhaps you know the spot by its slightly more famous name, Snake Road. About 3/5 of Illinois' reptiles, including snakes, and roughly 2/3 of its amphibians make their homes in the broader area surrounding Snake Road. Officials have closed the roadway every year since 1972 to protect snakes, frogs, salamanders, and newts from speeding cars as they migrate from their summer to winter habitats. Illinois Department of Natural Resources herpetologist Scott Ballard is on the line from Marion to help us learn more about Snake Road and the cold-blooded creatures crossing it. Scott, welcome to the 21st, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
When people hear that a road is closed off because of a massive snake migration, some people might start picturing pools of slithering snakes right out of an Indiana Jones movie. Can you kind of paint a picture for us of what Snake Road looks like right now?
Yeah, it's a very gradual migration. We've had several requests from television shows internationally to come down and film this, thinking that there's just piles of snakes writhing on the road. And actually, it's a very gradual migration. So the two-month closure allows the early migrators to come across, and then during the middle of the migration period, you have the majority of them, and then you'll have some stragglers towards the end of that migration period. So if you walk that entire road with the 2.5-mile stretch and see 20 snakes, you're doing really good, because then on the way back you could see 20 more or 30 more. So it's kind of a gradual thing. It's not that they all gang up on the road and sit there and to amaze onlookers.
Sure. Snake Road is closed to cars, but walkers are free to visit. What are some of the animals that they might see there on a typical day?
The most common snake there is the cottonmouth water moccasin. Is the most predominant species a person will see. But there are other species there. Timber rattlesnakes occur there. Copperheads occur there. King snakes, rat snakes, worm snakes, ribbon snakes, garter snakes, water snakes, two or three different species of water snakes. And then, of course, the whole myriad of turtles, amphibians, lizards. There's three different species of lizards that occur there. So if you're on there on a good day, you can get to see quite a bit.
And are any of those endangered species?
Yeah, there's three or four endangered species of snakes and endangered species of frog that occurs there. And so the migration, the two-month period, certainly doesn't stop all vehicular mortality of animals, but it does protect the majority of the population.
Where are all these creatures coming from, and where are they going during this migration?
During the March and April time frames, they're coming down out of the limestone cliff outcrops that are on the west side of LaRue Road 345. They're gradually moving across the road into the swamp where they'll feed, reproduce, all that during the summer. And then as the photo period, the day lengths get shorter and the night temperatures get cooler, they start their trek in September and October of coming back up onto the road, crossing it, going back up into the limestone cliffs to hibernate in.
Is it common elsewhere through the national park system to completely block off a road like this?
To my knowledge, this is the only place in the entire United States that's closed off for a biennial reptile and amphibian migration.
Interesting. And Scott, I understand you were actually pretty instrumental in the information gathering and decision-making behind closing Snake Road. Can you give us a little bit of that backstory?
Yeah, when the Forest Service started doing this, which was a really brave step for the Forest Service to do in 1972, they closed it off for 3 weeks in the spring and 3 weeks in the fall. And I happened to be doing my graduate work at Southern Illinois University at the right time, and so I monitored the road for several years just to kind of see when the periods of activity was. And what I found was that 3 weeks in the spring and 3 weeks in the fall wasn't enough. So in my master's thesis, I recommended a longer road closure and actually stipulated dates, and they did adopt that. So now it's closed from March 15th to May 15th in the spring and September 1st, October 30th in the fall.
And just a quick follow-up there, with the climate starting to change, has there been any thought to maybe adjusting those dates at all?
Well, we have looked into that, and actually the Forest Service has been very good conservation partners. If we get down there and we have a warmer than normal spring, and we do see snakes moving earlier, and we talk to them about it, they will go ahead and close the road a little earlier.
Okay. People know that from September through October, there are some very reptiles gathering around Snake Road. And over the years in your work with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, you've been involved with cases involving the illegal capturing and trading of these animals. Has that been a problem specifically at Snake Road?
It has at Snake Road. I mean, you know, the positive spin to, because with the onset of social media, I mean, the Forest Service publicized this a lot prior to social media. And then once you have so very many social media outlets, now everybody, all they have to do is Google Snake Road, and boom, they know where it's at. There's maps and everything. The good thing about that is it shows that it is important to conserve reptiles and amphibians. They're very important parts of our ecosystem. They control a lot of insect and rodent pests. It's good that they're not killed. The downside to it is if someone doesn't have the right intention, and the whole area is closed to collecting. So if someone thinks, oh, this would be a good place to go grab two or three pets or two or three animals I can sell illegally in the pet trade, unfortunately, it draws those people too. But we do make cases down there every spring and fall for people either harassing the animals or collecting them, or even we've had a couple instances where we've caught people killing them down there.
Scott, what advice do you have for people traveling to Snake Road who want to make sure that they stay safe and, of course, keep the wildlife safe?
I would certainly wear, I wouldn't go down there in shorts and flip-flops. I would not take pets there. Since we do have three different species of venomous snakes down there, and when you walk the road, sometimes the snakes may be in the leaves on the shoulder of the road, and if you're not watching where you walk and you step on one, it will bite, just like if you were to pick up a raccoon or a fox, it would bite. These animals are not aggressive. They're not going to come after you, but you need to have the right footwear on. So I recommend leather boots that come up past your ankle. It's like denim jeans, just not bare legs. And please don't take your pets down there because a lot of these animals musk when they get frightened. And that odor is attractive to dogs especially that may go up there and smell an odd smell and put their nose right on one and they end up getting bitten in the face.
Mm. And Scott, before we let you go, I have to ask you, where did you get your love for reptiles and amphibians?
I unfortunately had dog and cat allergies, so I was allergic to their dander, and my mother brought me home a snake as a pet for my 10-year birthday, and I had to educate my dad that and he was wrong in thinking the only good snake was a dead snake, and so from there, it's just kind of snowballed.
Scott Ballard, Illinois Department of Natural Resources herpetologist, thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st.
Sure, thank you for the opportunity, Brian. I appreciate it.